Good morning. This is Pat. Reading from the Pantograph on June 24th, 2025. Iran launches an attack on U.S. base. David Rising, John Gambrell, and Melanie Lidman of the Associated Press have written this article. From the Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Iran launched missile attacks Monday on U.S. military base in Qatar, retaliating for American bombing of its nuclear sites, escalating tensions in the volatile region. U.S. officials reported no casualties. Qatar condemned the attack on the Al-Udeid airbase attack, but said it was successfully intercepted the short and medium-range ballistic missiles. Iran said the attack matched the number of bombs dropped by the United States on Iranian nuclear sites over the weekend. Iran also said it targeted the base because it was outside of populated areas. Those comments, made immediately after the attack, suggested Iran wanted to de-escalate with the United States, something President Donald Trump himself said after the strikes early Sunday on Iran. However, Israel's war on Iran continues, with the Israeli military expanding its campaign Monday to target sites symbolic for the country's theocracy. Shortly after the missile attack, the Gulf nation of Bahrain, that is home to the U.S. Fifth Fleet headquarters, temporarily suspended flights in its airspace, which is similar to what Qatar did shortly before it was hit. Iran announced the attack on state television as martial music played. A caption on screen called it a mighty and successful response to America's aggression. The Ayn al-Assad base housing U.S. troops in western Iraq was also targeted. An Iraqi security official who is not authorized to comment publicly told the Associated Press on condition of anonymity. But Iran did not claim credit for that attack, which could have been carried out by militias. It was not immediately clear if there was damage to the Iraq base or any injury. Qatar's foreign ministry said the attack by Iran's Revolutionary Guard was a flagrant violation of Qatar's sovereignty, its airspace, and international law. Al Udeid is home to the Combined Air Operations Center, which provides command and control of air power access the region, as well as the 379th Air Expeditionary Wing, the latest expeditionary wing in the world, the largest expeditionary wing in the world. Just before the explosions, Iranian President Mossad Pezeshkian wrote that the social platform X, "We neither initiated the war nor seeking it, but we will not leave invasion to the great Iran without answer." The retaliation came a day after the U.S. launched a surprise attack Sunday morning on three of Iran's nuclear sites. Israel expands war to include symbolic targets. Earlier in the day, Israel expanded its war against Iran, striking the gate of the Tehran prison, notorious for holding political activists, and hitting the headquarters of the military force that suppressed recent protests. As plumes of thick smoke rose over Tehran, Israel was attacked with yet another barrage of Iranian missiles and drones. The persistent fire has become a reality for civilians on both countries since Israel started the war to target Tehran's rapidly advancing nuclear program. On the 11th day of the conflict, Israel said it attacked regime targets and government repression bodies in the heart of Tehran, but Israel officials insisted it did not seek to overthrow Iran's government, their archenemy since the country's 1979 Islamic Revolution. The Israeli military warned Iranians that it would continue to attack military sites around Tehran over the coming days, as its focus has shifted to symbolic targets as well. the military issued the warning on social platform X, though Iranians are struggling to access the outside world as an internet shutdown has crippled the country. The latest strikes unfolded only hours after Trump openly raised the possibility himself, after just a day earlier inserting America into the war with its unprecedented stealth bomber strike on three Iranian nuclear sites. The current Iranian regime is unlikely to make Iran great again. Why wouldn't there be a regime change? He asked on his Truth Social website. White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt later described Trump as simply raising a question. However, suggestions of overthrowing the Iranian government drew new anger from Tehran, which insists it will not negotiate at this time and is threatening to retaliate directly against either American troops or interests in a Mid-East already inflamed by the still-raging Israel-Hamas war in the Gaza Strip. Tehran strikes open new chapter of war. In Tehran strikes, Israel blew open a gate at Evin prison. Iranian state television shared black-and-white surveillance footage of the strike at the facility, known for holding dual nationals and Westerners often used by Iran as bargaining chips in negotiations with the West. Evin also has specialized units for political prisoners run by paramilitary, all-volunteer Revolutionary Guard, which answers only to the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The facility is the target of both U.S. and European Union sanctions. There were no immediate reports of casualties in Iran or significant damage, though the semi-official Tasman News Agency said there had been a power cut reported outside of Tehran following the Israeli strikes. Iranian state television also aired footage described as being shot inside Evin, with prisoners under control inside the facility. However, the Washington-based Center for Human Rights in Iran expressed worry about the condition of prisoners there. Many families of current detainees have expressed deep concern about the safety and condition of their loved ones held inside the prison, it said. Early Monday, Iranian General Mousavi, the chief of joint staff of armed forces, warned Washington that its strikes had given Iranian forces a free hand to act against U.S. interests and its army. Tens of thousands of American troops are based in the Middle East, many in locations within range of short-range Iranian missiles. The Israeli military also confirmed it struck roads around Iran's Fordo enrichment facility to obstruct access to the site. The underground site was one of those hit in Sunday's attack by the United States on three nuclear facilities. The Israeli military did not elaborate. The Iranian dictator will be punished with full force for attacking the Israeli home front, Israel's defense ministry said. According to an Israeli official familiar with the government strategy, Israel is targeting these sites to put pressure on the Iranian administration, but is not actively seeking to topple it. The official spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss its internal government deliberations. Nuclear fears mount after U.S. strikes. In Vienna, the head of the United Nations nuclear watchdog said he expected there to be heavy damage at the Fordo facility following Sunday's U.S. airstrike there with sophisticated bunker buster bombs. With strikes Sunday on Iranian nuclear sites, the United States it's inserted itself into Israel's war, prompting fears of a wider regional conflict. Iran said the U.S. has crossed a very big red line with its risky gambit to strike the three sites with missiles and 30,000-pound bunker buster bombs. Several Iranian officials, including Atomic Energy Organization of Iran's spokesman Kamalvandi, have claimed Iran removed nuclear material from targeted sites ahead of time. Rafael Grossi, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, told the agency's Board of Governors Monday that Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi informed him on June 13th that Iran would adopt special measures to protect nuclear equipment and materials. I indicated that any transfer of nuclear material from a safeguarded facility to another location in Iran must be declared, Grossi said, without saying whether Iran had responded. Iran presses on attacking Israel. Iran described its Monday attack on Israel as a new wave of its Operation True Promise 3, saying it was targeting the Israeli cities of Haifa and Tel Aviv, according to Iranian state television. Explosions were also heard in Jerusalem, possibly from air defense systems in action. And Israel's Megan David Adam Emergency Rescue Service said there had been no reports of injuries. In Israel, at least 24 people have been killed and more than 1,000 wounded in the war. Israeli strikes on Iran have killed at least 950 people and wounded 3,450 others, according to the Washington-based group Human Rights Activists. The group, which has provided detailed casualty figures from Iranian unrest, such as the protests surrounding the deaths of Mahsa Amini in 2022, said of those killed, it identified 380 civilians and 253 security force personnel. Russia is one of Iran's closest allies, and on Monday, President Vladimir Putin said after a meeting in Moscow that Araghchi, the Iranian foreign minister, that they had explored how we can get out of today's situation. Putin called the Israeli and American attacks on Israel an absolutely unprovoked aggression. End of article. Now a note on agriculture. Knee-high by July, how corn, soybeans are faring around Illinois. An article by Crystal Reed of the Illinois Farmer Today. This was dated June 22, 2025. At this point in the season, crops have mostly been planted, and in some cases replanted, depending on how much rain areas have seen. Crop progress across Illinois, as well as neighboring Iowa and Missouri, has varied, at some places seeing average rainfall while others are dry. Here's a look at how things are going across the state and region at this point in the summer. Around Illinois, Northern Illinois has been floating between a D1 and D2 drought throughout the spring, stemming from a dry winter as well as below average rainfall in the spring, said Stephen Brand, a commercial ag specialist for the University of Illinois Extension based out of Northern Illinois. Temperatures were also well below average throughout the spring. Brand said planting was finished early, with most fields planted in May. By May 10th through the 15th in both corn and soybeans. Despite this, the dry conditions led to slow emergence as well as stunted crop height, he said. Brand said corn showed early yellowing due to prolonged overcast and cooler conditions. Soybeans have emerged and are growing at a normal rate, but corn has been stunted as it enters certain growth stages. We have received a few rainfall events, with only one being widespread, dropping an average around 1 inch. With the dry conditions, disease have been very low in the fields he has scouted, including wheat. Overall, plants are healthy and progressing through the growth stages, and a wet June would go a long way to help the corn specifically catch up in height and overall growth, Brand said. Megan Diss, an extension commercial ag specialist based in West Central Illinois, said recent rain systems have helped to replenish soil moisture. Along with the rain, we have had some heat through the region, and combined we are seeing some good ground conditions as well as crop development, she said. Diss said soybeans are mainly in the V3 to V5 stage of growth, and corn is between V2 and V6, with differences largely being planting date. She said the main field activities at this time are post-emergence applications. We are seeing some weed pressure in the region, mainly water hemp and giant ragweed, Diss said. She said they have seen some replants across the region, but largely the fields are looking good. We are on par or close to with 2020 through 2024 average crop progress and conditions, Diss said. Talon Becker, a commercial agriculture specialist for the University in East Central Illinois, said a relatively wet late March and April across much of the region, with conditions being generally wetter the further south you went, led to a slower start to this planting season. But despite that slow start, farmers made up ground in May, Becker said. He said since planting, growing conditions have been favorable with timely rains, and most fields are showing uniform crop establishment with minimal seedling disease. While there are some replanting necessary in low-lying areas, replanted acres in the region appear to be minimal at this time, Baker said. He said soil conditions have allowed for timely post-emergence herbicide applications, contributing to relatively good weed control in most fields at this time. Dane Hunter is a commercial agricultural specialist with the University of Illinois Extension, based out of the south central part of the state. Farmers in south central Illinois have finally been getting into the fields over the last few weeks. Very little planting had taken place in the region around Marion County until the weekend before Memorial Day. Hunter said then that much of the corn has gotten planted and is starting to emerge. There are, however, some areas that have been too wet. I know that an hour south of here in Franklin County, there are still a lot of fields that are untouched, and some folks thinking about switching corn acres to beans this year, Hunter said. He estimates through southern Illinois that 90% of the corn has been planted, but first crop beans are only half to two-thirds in the ground. Except for a few outliers, the average soybean is just emerging, if it's in the ground at all, Hunter said. Wheat in southern Illinois needed recent heat to mature. After the heat of the last week, wheat at the latitude of Marion County is marching towards senescence, but still has a decent amount of green hue to the heads, he said. Hunter said, depending on the weather over the next week, they might be able to be a week to 10 days from starting the wheat harvest. Neighboring states. Andre Froese Deborah Reese, assistant professor of soybean farming systems in the University of Missouri, said his region is seeing more replanting than usual. There is a fair amount of replanting from 2 to 5 events of heavy rainfall, he said. He said it may affect some of the crop potential. Reese has seen a lot of crop emergence, mostly in corn. However, he noted that farmers may have to replant because of rainfall that was expected this week. He thinks there could be a potential negative impact on yield in the northwest part of Missouri due to the dry conditions. Indiana State University Extension field agronomist Megan Anderson said corn in the central part of Iowa is looking excellent after the crop was planted into a range of conditions. It is a definite case of the haves and have-nots when it comes to swings of cool and wet and hot and dry conditions, she said. Where she is based saw heavy rains prior to Memorial Day. Overall, she believes they could use another shot of rain with warm temperatures. When it comes to the soybean crop in central Iowa, she said some of the earlier planted crops are close to flowering. However, cool conditions have affected the crop. Especially with cool conditions, things are slow to get up and slow to recover from winds, Anderson said. She anticipates that some of the pests that Mia deal with this year will include corn rootworm, Japanese beetles, and soybean gall midge. Comedy and crime fighting join forces for police learning leadership skills. This is in Chicago. 36 police captains pair off in a Chicago conference room to play a game. They must start a sentence with the last word their partner used. Many exchanges are nonsensical, full of one-upmanship, using difficult words and laughter. But the improvisation game eventually makes sense. What we are trying to do is to get you to listen to the end of the sentence, says Kelly Leonard, wrapping up the improvisational exercise. If my arm was a sentence, when do most people stop listening? Always the elbow. But then you're missing everything that goes after, and sometimes that's critical information. The police captains who have flown in from departments across the country nod. I definitely do that, someone called out. Officials at the University of Chicago's Crime Lab's Policing Leadership Academy brought members of the Second City, Chicago's storied improv theater, to teach police leaders the more diverse skills found in improv exercises, like thinking on your feet, reserving judgment, and fully listening. The Academy, a workshop taught over 5 months, tackles some serious topics like to make data-driven decisions or how to develop officers handle on-the-job trauma, improving social skills. We call it yoga for social skills, said Leonard, the vice president of creative strategy, innovation, and business development at the Second City. The skills might not apply to all policing situations, but being a better listener or learning to take a breath before responding can make for better leaders, according to Tree Branch, a strategic client partner in the Second City Works. The creation of improv and the Second City is rooted in social work. Both trace their beginnings to Viola Spolin, who created some of the exercises still used in improv while she was a resettlement worker in the 1920s, helping immigrant children and local Chicago children connect. Spolin was also the mother of Second City co-founder Paul Sills. The Policing Leadership Academy's creators believe those skills can also help meet their goals to increase community engagement, improve officer morale, and ultimately reduce violent crime. We are trying to make the case that you can do all three things without compromising one over the other, said Kim Smith, director of the programs at the Crime Lab. The Academy is focused on working with leaders from departments dealing with high levels of community gun violence and pays for them to fly to Chicago 1 week a month to attend a five-month training. Crime Lab researchers found that district and precinct captains have the largest potential impact on their colleagues, despite often receiving little leadership training for the job. A precinct could have high marks for morale, community relationships, or making a dent in crime numbers. But if the captain changes, those gains could plummet. Researchers found even if the community, the officers, and everything else stayed the same. Professors, researchers, and police leaders teach courses on topics like developing transparent policing cultures, using and collecting data, managing stress, and building community partnerships. So far, about 130 police leaders from about 70 departments, including tribal police departments, and even a police inspector from Toronto, have participated. Communication is the key. Captain Lewis Higginson with the Philadelphia Police Department said the academy provided a much broader training than the 2 weeks of police job training he got before being promoted to a captain a little more than a year ago. "The big thing for me was thinking about things that we allow to happen because they've been that way before us. And the ways that we can change the culture of our district by changing the thinking around what we do." He said he did some of the improv exercises with his wife and daughters when he returned home, and it opened up communication in a way he hadn't expected. "I think it opened it their eyes like it did for me," Higginson said. Albuquerque Police Department Commander Ray Del Greco said he's still thinking more about how he communicates weeks after the improv class. "When people talk to you and come to have you help solve their issues, to be able to push your ego out and worry less about your own agenda and listen, that's an understanding of leadership," Del Greco said. "To me, that was the most valuable class we had." The student becomes teacher. Academy leaders stress the learning doesn't stop at graduation. They create communication channels so classmates can continue to support each other. They encourage captains to put things on trainings with their departments, and participants are required to implement a capstone project that lasts well past the last day of class and addresses a real problem in their district or department. Many of the projects implement programs to address specific crimes, like involving the community in programs to prevent car thefts or piloting drones as first responders. One previous graduate created a partnership with community groups to increase community pride and reduce gun violence by reducing quality of life issues like littering, overgrown lots, and graffiti. Steve Donahoe, a San Jose Police Department captain and recent Academy graduate, is creating an early intervention system focusing on officer wellness. A typical system might flag citizen complaints or driving accidents, but Donahoe's program gathers input from supervisors and peers to flag when an officer is taking on too much on-duty trauma, such as multiple murders or shooting investigations within a short time. "It's a Venn diagram when training, wellness, and internal affairs," he said, "and when we can help, then we can lessen the use of force complaints and allegations, offer far better training, and improve services put out by the department. The trainers hope in a few years more captains and officers will be saying yes and during improv classes. They are keeping tabs through a randomized control study on how well the overall training works. And with that evidence, they hope funders, police departments, or other universities will help expand the trainees to more departments. We want there to be rigorously tested scientific evidence behind this," said Academy Director Meredith Stricker. "We work to design a curriculum to ultimately make better leaders and policing and better policing." The participants talk about the improv class as one of their favorites. "We hope all of this will work in tandem." End of article and end of part one of the pantograph. Stay tuned for part two.